Mr. Tolbert? Got to lower this thing for me. I'm not 6 foot something. Well, welcome everybody to the first day of Unleavened Bread. Welcome a lot of guests. I'm glad to see them here. And the guests that are out on the cybercast, welcome them also. You know, many of us here have kept God's holy days for several years. I think this is my family's 45th. You know, the years just roll by so quick, don't they? And we had a beautiful Passover service. We had a beautiful night to be remembered. And now here it is. Days of Unleavened Bread. It's hard to believe that the year has gone by so quick. And when you get up around 59 like me, maybe a little older than that. But anyway, my title is, Must We Keep God's Holy Days Today? Definitely, yes. Surely after 40-some years, we must know all there is to know about all the holy days, right? No. If that's true, why would we have them over and over again? When God starts something, He usually starts small. He usually starts out small. And then it grows. And today, the word is leaven. It starts small and it grows. You know, a little leaven, leaven's a whole lump. Starts small and it grows. Our sins may start small. But if we allow it, it grows. And it grows. And when we have Passover, and Christ takes away our sins. Let's turn to Matthew 13 to start off with. Matthew 13, we're going to read verse 33 through 40. Here's where Christ was talking. He says, another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parables of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. Verse 39, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. In verse 40, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the field, so it will be at the end of this age. So, Jesus Christ compares God's kingdom to both a mustard seed, which grows and grows, and leaven. Both start out with something very small, much like in the Old Testament times where God called only a few people who were willing to follow him. So if we will, let's turn back to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, we're going to read verse 18 through 22. Verse 18, Matthew 4, verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers. He saw Simon, called Peter, and he saw his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers. He saw James, the son of Zebedee, and he saw John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat, they left their father, and they followed him. So why did I read that? Let's turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, we'll read 13 through 18. Hebrews 11, verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." Verse 15, "And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return to it." Verse 16, "But now they desire a better," that is, a heavenly country. "Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So it was faith that he did this. Verse 18. "Of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called." Now I jumped from him calling someone to follow him to the faith area. But you know, these brothers, they didn't hesitate, did they? They went right with Christ. They followed him. They must have had faith, and that's why I jumped over to Hebrews 11. They had the faith. Most likely you didn't know much about God's way when you were first called. You probably didn't know a lot. You probably didn't know about the holy days, and maybe some of you did. So after you started off like that mustard seed, you know, small, you grew. After a year, he observed his holy days, and you grew more. I'd like to turn back to Genesis 26. Genesis 26, we're going to read verse 1 through 5. Genesis 26:1. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. I think that's how you pronounce it. Verse 2. Then the Eternal appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all this land, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice, he obeyed my charge, he obeyed my commandments, my statutes, and he obeyed my laws." So God's holy day plan and the blueprints were not just something, some afterthought. In due time, how many years? We don't know. We don't know how many more years we're going to be doing this. God's plan will go on and on. No matter how many years it takes, it's going to go on and on. God had designed from the very beginning this plan. As in Genesis 26, we see God beginning to reveal the good news about his plan of salvation. And some of us, it may take a little longer to understand God's plan. Sometimes it's kind of hard to understand. We must have faith. Like in Hebrews 11, we must have the faith. Let's turn to James 2. James 2, I'm going to read verse 23 through 26. James 2:23, "And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone." It takes both. It takes works, but you got to have faith. It takes faith also. Verse 25, "Likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way?" Now I remember, you know, several years ago that was questioned. Verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." You got to have the works. You got to have the faith. So if Paul's practice had not been to observe the feast days that God had instituted, his comments to the Jews and to Gentiles in Corinth would have been in vain, wouldn't they? Evidence in lacking that Paul discouraged anyone from keeping the annual feast days. Well, the Bible records Paul's ministries repeatedly tells about the holy days. Paul observed them as very important milestones in his life. Let's turn to Acts 18. Acts 18, we'll read verse 18 to 21. Here Paul was in Corinth, and this is where we pick the story up in Acts 18. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. I guess he left Priscilla and Aquila there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And when they asked him to stay a little while longer with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep the coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing, he said, and he sailed from Ephesus. In the expositor's Bible commentary, in the reference to Acts 20, verse 6, let's go there. Acts 20, verse 6, it says, But we sailed away from Philippi after the day of unleavened bread. So he kept all the feasts. Paul kept all the feasts. And he nowhere ever discouraged the Gentiles or the Jews from keeping them. So it looks like that he even helped them. So we sailed away from Philippi after days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them in Tros, where we stayed 7 days. So the 7 days, I'm not sure, that must have been the days of unleavened bread. So this in Acts 26, in the expositor's Bible commentary, notes that Paul, unable to arrive at Jerusalem for Passover, remained at Philippi to celebrate it and the week-long feast of unleavened bread. So he did celebrate the holy days, and he never at one time discouraged anybody from doing it. I'd like to turn back to Luke 2. We're going to read verse 41 through 48. Luke 2, verse 41. Let's go ahead and read 42. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We're talking about Jesus Christ, of course, here. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the customs of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. If you've ever been to a huge feast site, like back in the 70s. You could lose a child if you're not careful. You could lose a child. But probably one of the brethren would notice it and bring him to you. Anyway, Christ stayed back. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintance. They thought he was with them. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. You know, I don't know how they was traveling in that day. Maybe by donkey, or I'm not sure how they was traveling. Maybe even walking. And they already had journeyed a day away. So they had to go back a day. So it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. 12 years old. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have been looking for you everywhere." It doesn't really say that, but it's about the same thing. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me?" 12 years old, you know. "Why did you seek me? Did you know not that I must be about my father's business?" Now, wouldn't that kind of shake you up? Sure would me. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased his wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He was in favor of both. So Jesus Christ kept all the holy days, the very, very plan of God. He kept all of them. Let's turn now to 1 John 2. First John 2, verse 6. Just a very short scripture, but it says, 1 John 2, verse 6. "He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked." So Christ obeyed, and he attended every holy day. And it says here, "He who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked." So we should keep him also. So how many of you, when you first were called into God's church, knew all about the holy days? I would say not many knew all about the holy days. I know I didn't. So, brethren, every year we grow a little more in the knowledge of God's great master plan. And today starts another year, a new year of the holy days. And I'm saying, brethren, take good notes. Take good notes, study them, meditate on them, because someday we're not going to be allowed to do this. Hard to believe, but someday the freedom of religion may be taken away from us. So we've got to gain as much as we can right now. Gain as much as we can, because we don't know how many more years. And we've got to hold fast to what we already know. We may have to have Bible study in secret at home or somewhere in secret. Yes, all of God's holy days are still very important, and they're still for today, for us today. Brethren, have a very beautiful rest of the day of unleavened bread.